today's program with a recitation from the Quran al-Kareem by Hafiz Hamad Dindar.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله. جزاكم الله حافظ حماد for that beautiful recitation. Respected friends and brothers, alhamdulillah, we are honored to be hosting a program of this nature which we have been speaking about in the past week, the annual Sahaba Jalsa, and it is taking place at this point in time, started from yesterday already, and will go right into the weekend over a number of countries, and there will be more than 700 programs taking place. And a program of this nature is not something to entertain, but it is something for us to actually use to strengthen our iman and our belief. This program has got to do with our aqidah, with our belief. If we do not have the importance and the reverence of the noble Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajmain in our hearts, it's going to cut us away from our deen, because they were the first recipients of the deen and the wahi from Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, my respected friends and brothers, with the passing of each day, we are faced with so many negative, toxic onslaughts, specifically by those people who are ignorant and who don't know better, and they utter all kinds of negativity against the noble Sahaba. So before we become influenced by any of that polluted and contaminated negative air, we need to protect ourselves and our children. Because if we are going to be afflicted with the sickness of harboring any kind of negativity about the Sahaba, just a matter of time, we're going to say something. And then, my respected friends and brothers, when we are put in our qabr, at that time, when the questioning takes place in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to find that we should rather not have said anything against the Sahaba. So we have to hold them in the highest of regard and the greatest of esteem. So alhamdulillah, in that regard, this program has been carrying on now for the past 5 or 6 years already. And inshallah, today the speaker, as we are all aware, is Maulana Tahir Salludamud Barakatuhum, a person and a personality who most of us are aware of. He is an imam at the Mayfair Masjid. Alhamdulillah, we all read Salah and we have the opportunity of listening to his beautiful recitation. In addition to that, he is from the senior ulama of Johannesburg, giving guidance to the ummah there. And alhamdulillah, Maulana, in the course of his imamate in Johannesburg, was also honored with the opportunity of performing 1 year imamate in one of the masajid of Makkah Mukarramah. So that was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side for him. So alhamdulillah, we call upon Hazrat Maulana Tahir Sahib to enlighten us on the great status of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala ala majma'in.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innama yuridullahu liyudhhiba 'ankumur rijsa ahlal bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. Sadaqallahu al-'azim. All praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created us, sustained us, and above all created us in the best of ummah, that is the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this world that we live as human beings, they are generally categorized 4 types of love. One is a love that is because of blood. So every parent loves their children, every child loves their parent. This is because of blood. The second type of love is generally based on what you see. So when a person sees someone who they like, there is a categorized as one type of love. Most occasions, marriage will fall in that category. Then you get the third type of love, which is because of speaking to a person, interacting with them. You like the person's personality, you like the person's way, and there is friendship. And that can also reflect to family. And the fourth type of love is where you have not seen the person, you've never spoken to the person, you've never interacted with the person, but you have an immense love for this person. And that is divine love. Just this afternoon, I was at the Muslim school in Johannesburg. And I started off by asking the students, I asked them a question that if someone were to stand in front of you today and were to talk evil of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what would you do? So this was the entire school, a few hundred students, and I expected the answer to be that we will tell the person to keep quiet or we'll explain to the person. And wallahi, to my amazement, when I just finished my question saying, what would you do? Those children with one voice, without being told before there was a question, the children, our innocent young children, said, we will kill him. And I looked at them and I thought to myself that these are innocent young children who have never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They've never seen Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They've never spoken to them. Yet they have such a level of love that they would not tolerate anyone talking against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, I advised them, how do we deal with a person who talks against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But there is that important category which you and I have, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep that love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in our hearts. These jalsas that take place are there to educate us about the great status of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because of our lives going on, very often we don't have the time to learn about these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But today we are going to discuss a very important person. A person who was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person who was very close to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And a person who was very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu says, one evening he thought he is going to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a distance just to observe how would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spend his night. So he says, I was behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I kept a distance, just observing what is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to do. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking, and then he stopped, and he was talking, and he says, وَمَا رَأَيْتُ حَاجِزًا. There was nothing in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no tree, no rock, nothing preventing him, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُكَلِّمُهُ. And I didn't even see anyone talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, so I started coming closer to see from the side that what's going on. He says that at that moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard somebody behind. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who is that? And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, it is Hudhayfa. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, come closer, O Hudhayfa. What are you doing here? So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, I wanted to follow you just to see your actions of the night so that I could emulate it. He said, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw something amazing. There was nothing in front of you, yet you stopped, and then you seemed to be talking to someone, but I didn't see anyone. O Nabi of Allah, what transpired? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and smiled, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Tilka malakun. That was an angel of Allah. Hadhihi awwalu marratin nazalat. This was the first time this angel ever descended upon earth. And this angel will not be able to descend onto earth again. So obviously it was a very, very important mission. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ista'dhana Rabbahu. This angel went to Allah to take permission from Allah to give me two glad tidings. This angel wanted two things from Allah. This angel requested from Allah that, oh Allah, I want to go down and make salam to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on earth. So Allah blessed this angel with that. And the second the angel said, oh Allah, I want to be the one to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the glad tidings. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ista'dhana Rabbahu fi an yubashirani, to give me the glad tidings. Bi anna Fatima sayyidatu nisa'i ahlil jannah. That my daughter Fatima will be the leader of the woman of Jannah. And wa anna al-Hasan wal-Husayn sayyida shababi ahlil jannah. My two grandsons, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, will be the leaders of the youth of Jannah. The person we are discussing today is the same youngster who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with all the Sahaba, and this youngster was sitting in front, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna ibni hadha, the son of mine, this grandson, Sayyid. He's no ordinary man. He's a leader. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُصْلِحَ. And verily, a time will come when most probably Allah will unite two groups of Muslims at his hands. This was Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. The son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. The twin of Hussein radiallahu anhum. This was Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. Hassan radiallahu anhu was amongst those who were very, very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand, Hassan radiallahu anhu is amongst those who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his affection towards. He is known as Abu Muhammad, a person who has got a very blessed lineage. You know, today you talk about lineage. So sometimes we take pride over the place we come from or where our great grandfathers came from. And most of us haven't even seen those places. Hassan radiallahu anhu, what was his lineage? They say to understand who he is, understand who his mother and father are. Who is the mother of Hassan radiallahu anhu? Fatima radiallahu anha. There is a kitab on the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So every Sahabi has got a chapter with all the virtues. And this author, when he came to Fatima radiallahu anha, he said, I suffice on three questions to elaborate the status of Fatima radiallahu anha. What was it? Hiya bintu man, hiya zawju man, hiya ummu man. Three things. He said, you want to know who's Fatima radiallahu anha? Ask yourself three questions. She is the mother of whom? The leaders of Jannah. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. Hiya bintu man, she's the daughter of whom? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a zawjuman, and she's the wife of whom? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu an. This is the mother of Hassan radiyallahu an.
هي الجديرة بالكفء الكريم لها من المفاخر والعليا يحاكيها فمن من العرب العرباء كافيها غير العلي ربيب المصطفى وله سبق الهداية من نادى مناديا لذلك اختاره رب السماء له بعلا وأمست به الدنيا تهنيها.
هي الجديرة بال... This is a woman who's got the most beautiful of qualities. هي الجديرة بالكفء الكريم لها من المفاخر والعليا يحاكيها. Beauty, beautiful qualities get more adorned when they are seen in Fatima radiallahu anha. When a woman is of this stature, then فمن من العرب العرباء كافيها. Now who would be eligible to be her husband? Who's on par? Who is on that level that he can now become the husband of such a woman? غير العلي. Who else besides Ali? ربيب المصطفى, the one who grew up in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وله سبق الهداية. He was amongst those who was in the forefront of Islam, early to accept Islam. لذلك اختاره رب السماء له بعلا. Who chose him as the husband of Fatima radiallahu anha? Allah. That's why the whole world had to congratulate the two, that couple of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma. This is who is the mother and the father of Hassan ibn Ali radiallahu an. What a personality. Born in the third year of Hijri in Ramadan. When he was born and the news came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the nana to this child. It was the child, the son of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Arabic, you would get the two terms, hafid. And hafid would generally refer to your son's children. And on this occasion, it is different. And this is now the daughter's children. But what was the love and joy on the occasion of the birth of Hassan radiallahu anhum? The moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out that my daughter has given birth, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rushed to the house. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came there, they put Hassan radiallahu an in the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he is about to hear the first words in his life. The first words that Hassan radiallahu an heard were, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The first words he heard were the adhan being called out in his ear. And who was calling out this adhan? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa gave the adhan in the one ear, iqama in the other ear. Then Nabi sallallahu on that occasion made tahniq. Nabi sallallahu took a date, he chewed upon it, and then Nabi sallallahu placed it into the mouth of Hassan radiallahu an. On the seventh day, the hair of Hassan radiallahu an was shaved, and Fatima radiallahu anha weighed it, and she gave the equivalent of that weight of silver in charity, and that is what we do till today. When the hair was cut, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took some itar and he put it onto the head of Hassan radiallahu an. This is how Hassan radiallahu an made his grand entrance into the world. Now came the time of naming the baby. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ali radiallahu an, the father, ماذا سميته يا علي? Oh Ali, what have you named this baby? So Ali radiallahu anhu is known as Batal. You can't give him any other. He is known as a warrior, a brave man. So naturally, he gave the name Harb, war. He wanted his son to be in the forefront of protecting Islam. So he said, oh Nabi of Allah, I have named him Harb, war. Nabi Sassim said, no, oh Ali, this boy's name will be Hassan. Beautiful. Beautiful both in terms of qualities, in terms of outer personality, in terms of outer looks. He will be named Hassan. And one amazing fact is the name Hassan and Hussein were first given on earth to these two children, these two brothers, Hassan and Hussein. How is it possible nobody before that gave that name? Imam Nawawi rahimullah says that Allah hid these two names from the entire world so that these two boys will be the first to have this name. That is how he got the name Hassan, which means beautiful. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named him Hassan radiallahu an, at that occasion Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the narration says, Hannaka tahniq wa barraka. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for baraka. Now to make dua for baraka is so important. From the birth of a child, that is when the dua for barakah starts. What's our habit today? Baby is born, first thing out, Instagram, WhatsApp status. Let's put the picture of the baby, put the weight of the baby. We do all of that, and then we cry, why does the child have nazar? We complain, why is the child crying? What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? استعينوا على قضاء حوائجكم بالكتمان فإن كل ذي نعمة محسود. Do your affairs in secrecy, with a certain level of secrecy, because every person who is given a bounty by Allah will have someone jealous over him. So previously, someone had to be close enough to you in order to know what you have and be jealous over it. Today we've turned it around, we've opened it to everybody and say, there's it. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? وَبَرَّكَ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for baraka. The habit of giving du'as is the habit of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On that occasion when Hudhaifa radiallahu an was behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around and said, who is there? And he said, Hudhaifa. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him front, the narration says, the first thing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِوَالِدَيْكَ يَا حُذَيْفَ. Oh Hudhaifa, may Allah forgive your parents. A common custom which is prevalent till today among the Arabs. If you go to an Arab and you make salam, if your children are with you, they will make the dua immediately. Allah yuslih dhurriyatak. May Allah make your children pious. May Allah give your children the ability to be the coolness of your eyes. Barakallahu feek, hayyakallah. A common thing to give du'as. This is something which we must implement. We must not be shy about it. This was one of the occasions when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave this beautiful title and this beautiful dua, وَبَرَّكَ, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the baby. Nonetheless, this baby then grows up now in the lap of Fatima radiallahu anha. Now can you understand the love of the grandfather? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would commonly go past the house of Fatima radiallahu anha, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, أَثَمَّلُكَ, where's that little bundle of joy? When you say أَثَمَّلُكَ in Arabic, it's a term that you refer to. Is, you know, in every different language you'll have your code words for your little baby. So in the Gujarati way they'll say bachu, or in our English we know we'll say where's my sweetheart, whatever it is. Nabi Sassim would go past the house and say, Athammaluka, where's that little baby? And Fatima radiallahu anha on one occasion was even changing the child, and Nabi Sassim rushed in, and the moment Nabi Sassim came into the house, what did this baby do? Jumped into the hands of the grandfather. May our lives be sacrificed for those children. In whose hands did they jump into? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many occasions Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking past the house and he hears Hassan radiallahu anhu crying. He comes to the door and he says, oh Fatima, why is my baby crying? A baby is going to cry for so many reasons. But those who are grandparents will tell you, their own children cried and we accept it. But when your grandchild cries, can't handle it. A man will shout his own children when they grow up. But when his grandchildren are doing the same thing and they get shouted at by the parents, what happens? The grandparents say, no, leave him alone. And what do we young ones say? But you shouted me for it. This is something, it is a special love that Allah places in the heart of the grandparents. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam couldn't tolerate hearing Hassan radiallahu anhu crying. And the message to the young of our generation, when the grandparents say, no, give him a sweet, what do we, you're spoiling the tarbiyat of my child. My child only eats healthy. Leave all of that alone. Allah has placed the love of this child in the heart of the grandparents. Allah has given that love for the grandparents. Don't deprive them of it. This thing nowadays of, no, they can't go to the grandparents and, you know, the specific times in the week. What is all this? Look at this example. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes past. Athamma, look, where's my grandchild? I want to see my grandchild. I want to play with my grandchild. This is how fortunate these two young boys were. On one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on the minbar. Which city? Madinatul Munawwara. Which masjid? Masjidun Nabawi. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What day? Jum'ah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving the khutbah. From the back of the masjid, two young boys walk in, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. So Hassan radiallahu anhu, as he's walking, the two brothers had on white kurtas with red stripes. And as they're walking, Hassan radiallahu anhu would trip every now and then, and his brother would pull him up. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees on the back, he sees these two young grandsons of his coming. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets off the minbar. He walks to his two grandsons, he picks them up, he comes back to the minbar, he sits down and he puts them onto his lap and he says, Sadaqallah, verily Allah has spoken the truth. Innama amwalukum awladukum fitna. Your children and your wealth are a test for you. We have been blessed with their love. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam puts the two of them onto his lap. On one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reading salah. The imam of the masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi, the greatest of all prophets of Allah, is the imam and he's in sajda. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lengthens this particular sajda. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum are wondering, has Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed out? Has Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away? Has something happened? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes up. So after that salah, one sahabi comes around, he says, oh Nabi of Allah, I have a question about the salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, go ahead. He says, oh Nabi of Allah, in this one sajda, you were rather long and quite delayed compared to normal. Oh Nabi of Allah, we were afraid something happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you see this grandson of mine, Hassan, he was on my back and he was playing on my back and I feared that if I were to stand up, I would drop him. I didn't want to disturb my grandson, so I stayed longer in sajda. Subhanallah. What fortunate children were these? And what level of tolerance did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have with his grandchildren? What level of tolerance? Today the grandfather will take the grandchild out. And obviously, children today are different compared to the olden days. You buy them one ice cream, no, I don't want this, I want Haagen-Dazs. They have their demands. But what is the responsibility of the grandfather? I'm not saying go beyond your means, within the confines of your means, within the confines of Sharia, but to accommodate these children. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day looked at these Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, and he says, Hatan Rayhanataya, these are my two flowers. These two grandsons of mine are my flowers. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved Hassan radiallahu anhuma to a great extent. He was fair and reddish in complexion, wide, very dark black eyes, and he resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam physically. So if you looked at the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you would see it in Hassan radiallahu anhu. And if you looked at the body of Hussein radiallahu anhu, you would see the body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how the two of them were complemented, and this. On one occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu an came out of the masjid after Asr Salah. And as he walked out, he was walking with Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an. So Abu Bakr and Ali radiallahu anhuma are walking and they're exiting the masjid. And the children are all playing outside. And amongst them is Hassan radiallahu an. So Abu Bakr radiallahu an, this was after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu an goes to Hassan radiallahu an, picks him up, puts him on his shoulders, and then he turns to Ali radiallahu an, and he says, Bi Abi Shibhun bin Nabi La Bi Ali. He says, this child, O Ali, it doesn't resemble you at all. This child actually resembles Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This also tells us about the relationship between Abu Bakr radiallahu an and Ali radiallahu an. What a beautiful relationship. You wouldn't allow anyone to pick up your child unless you love them and you trust them. And for them to be able to joke in this casual way also tells us about the relationship. Hassan radiallahu anhu was a person who grew up in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made his tarbiyah, his nurturing. On one occasion, the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not allowed to eat of sadaqah. They're not allowed to eat of sadaqah as a sayyid. And one other beautiful factor of these jalsas that takes place throughout the country and over 22 different countries, is that every year it is preferred that a Sayyid starts the proceedings. So these jalsas that take place are the means of barakah, it is a means of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even starts most occasions with a Sayyid and Alhamdulillah. There are many, many ulama who have advised this, and we are so fortunate, Alhamdulillah, that we even have one of our seniors here who has been had the good fortune of starting it on a few occasions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the ability of taking full benefit from all of our ulama. This occasion of when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and Hassan radiallahu anhu picked up a date. So as a child, if you put a sweet in front of a child, naturally they're going to eat it. So Hassan radiallahu anhu took the date and he put it into his mouth. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that this is a date from the date of sadaqah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his finger in the mouth of Ali radiallahu anhu, took the date out and told him, "Oh my son, don't you know that we are not allowed to eat of sadaqah?" Now what do we learn from this? He was brought up from a young age under the nurturing of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But more importantly, we sometimes say that my child will learn when they grow up. Leave them now. Certain principles of life must be taught when they are small. I'm not saying that your 4 and 3 year old must not come to the masjid. I'm not saying they must start reading salah. No. But there are certain basic principles in Islam. Look at this particular example when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually took the date out of the mouth of Hassan radiallahu anhuma. Hassan radiallahu anhu was such a good-natured person. A person out of town came to his gathering one day and he started insulting him. So Hassan radiallahu anhu patiently listened. At the end of the man's whole conversation, what is the response of Ali of Hassan radiallahu anhu? "You seem to be a visitor in our town. If you require a place to stay or food to eat, please come to my door." This is a man, Hassan radiallahu anhu, who is known as the ambassador of peace. Ambassador of peace. Don't forget this. He is the ambassador of peace. A man of utter humility. One day he is walking in the streets of Medina and a group of poor people were sitting in the corner and they were eating. So when they saw Hassan radiallahu anhu coming past, they said to him, "Oh Hassan, why don't you join us?" Hassan radiallahu anhu looked at them. He walked up to them. He sat down with them and he partook of meals with them. When he was done, he said to them, "Why don't all of you come to my house now?" So this whole group stood up and they went with Hassan radiallahu anhu. Upon reaching his home, he gave all of them a whole lot of gifts and he even gave them food, etc. What a humble man. And this is a person who amazingly, you know, I heard one Arab scholar saying so beautifully, when you play with your children, sometimes you take a shawl and you put it over your head and the child's head and you make a tent. And children love this. On one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his shawl and he took Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَأَدْخَلَهُمَا فِي غِطَاءٍ, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam covered them in the shawl. Then Ali radiallahu anhu walked in, فَأَدْخَلَهُ, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him also under there. Then Fatima radiallahu anha came, فَأَدْخَلَهَا, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also took her under, and this whole family now under the shawl of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? Allahumma inna ha'ulai ahli bayti, oh Allah, these are my family. Oh Allah, love them because I love them. Allahumma tahhirhum tatheera, oh Allah, you purify them. These are the two children who got that dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regarding Hassan radiallahu anhu in particular, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allahumma inni uhibbuhu. Oh Allah, I love Hassan. Oh Allah, I love him. So, oh Allah, you also love him. And oh Allah, love the one who loves Hassan. This jalsa that we're having is not just to hear facts. It's for us to make the commitment today to Allah that, oh Allah, I also love Hassan radiallahu anhu. Because if you love Hassan, then you love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you love Allah. But what is the greatest benefit of this? The dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, I love him. So love the one who loves him also. On another occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, love the one who loves my Hassan. And oh Allah, you hate the one who hates my Hassan. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum all had love for Ahlul Bayt. All the Sahaba loved the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they especially loved these two, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. That is why the love among Sahaba was very mutual. Hassan radiallahu anhu named one of his children Abu Bakr. He named one of his children Umar. Would anyone sitting here name your child after the name of a person you dislike? Never. Hassan radiallahu anhu named his son Abu Bakr. He named another son Umar. And exactly like that, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had this mutual love. When Umar radiallahu anhu received a lot of wealth in his khilafah, he distributed this wealth. So his son Abdullah came to him and Umar radiallahu anhu gave him 500 gold coins. He takes his 500 gold coins and Hassan radiallahu anhu walks in. Umar radiallahu anhu takes out 1,000 gold coins and gives it to him. So his son Abdullah looks at him and he says, "Oh my father, I get 500 but he gets 1,000. He says, "Oh my son, do you not know whose grandson is this? Do you not know whose son this is?" This tells us about the love of Umar radiallahu anhu for Hassan radiallahu anhu. One amazing incident is mentioned about clothing and cloth in particular that used to come from Yemen. And there are two different narrations regarding this. The cloth, one says the cloth was sent from Yemen, and then there were clothing, the sets that were sold, and everybody got. And the other narration says that the clothing came ready, and at that time, everybody were given clothing. So Umar radiallahu anhu gave everybody. When they came to the time of Hassan radiallahu anhu, there wasn't a suitable one for him. So what did Umar radiallahu anhu do? He ordered a special garment to be made in Yemen to be given to Hassan radiallahu anhu. In the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the love between Hassan and Uthman radiallahu anhu was at such a level that Hassan radiallahu anhu came to Uthman radiallahu anhu and said, "Oh Uthman, you are Khalifatul Muslimin. My life is in your hands. Use me wherever you want." And obviously, regarding Ali radiallahu anhu, there is so much regarding Ali radiallahu anhu. But at the time of the death of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when the Sahaba came to him and said, "Oh Ali, should we appoint your son Hassan as the next Khalifa? You are now leaving the world. Should we appoint your son Hassan as a Khalifa?" Ali radiallahu anhu said, "I will not instruct you to appoint my son as Khalifa, neither will I stop you from appointing him as Khalifa. However, I prefer that to leave it after I am gone so that Allah will unite the Ummah on a good leader, just as Allah united the Ummah after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Meaning, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Allah united the entire Ummah on the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he said, "At this occasion, I am not going to tell you to appoint my son or not to appoint him." What a great lesson we learn. In the affairs of deen, even if the son is capable, there is no direct inheritance in Islam of position in deen. It doesn't mean that the son is there, automatically he inherits from the father the whole system of deen. No. If he is capable and the Muslim community, the Muslim ummah appoints him, on that occasion will he be fit of that. This was what Ali radiallahu anhu had done. Ali radiallahu anhu passed away and Hassan radiallahu anhu was appointed by the ummah as a consensus that he would now be the Khalifa. There was a difference of opinion among Sahaba at that point. Should they avenge the death of Uthman radiallahu anhu? And at that occasion, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu felt it should be done immediately. And on that occasion, Hassan radiallahu anhu said, let's first establish things and then we'll do it later. At that point, there was a group that felt this, you know, some felt this way, others felt that way. However, the crux of the matter is that Hassan radiallahu anhu stayed as the Khalifa for 6 to 7 months. That's it. One of the prophecies of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Khilafah will remain in my ummah for a period of 30 years. Beyond that, will not be considered a Khilafah. That Khilafah of 30 years ended with the ending of the Khilafah of Hassan radiallahu anhu. At the end of that 6 to 7 months, when he now voluntarily stepped down from the mantle of Khilafah, it was a completion of 30 years. Hassan radiallahu anhu had met with a group that represented Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and he said, "I am prepared to hand over the Khilafah on one condition. I have two conditions. One is you would be Khalifa and you would rule according to the Quran and Sunnah. And number two, that those people who are here now, you would follow me in terms of who I give peace to, and those who I fight, you will fight. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu accepted, and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was then appointed as the next Khalifa. And at that point, Hassan radiallahu anhu went onto the minbar, and he clearly said it to everybody that this is the situation. I have now voluntarily stepped down from the mantle of Khilafa, and I've accepted Muawiyah radiallahu anhu as a Khalifa. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, the two of them came, met now when the one brother gave up the Khilafa. So Hussein radiallahu anhu said to his brother, why have you handed over the Khilafa? So he called his brother in conference and he said to him, that do you not remember the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one I quoted earlier on, that Allah will resolve and will cause a unity at the hands of this son Hassan radiallahu anhu between two groups of Muslims? Hussein said, yes, I recall that. That is when Hassan radiallahu anhu said, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our grandfather, was referring to. I am stepping down from the mantle of Khilafah, so that Muslim blood will not be shed. Let us rather have peace. In this condition, this was how Hassan radiallahu anhu came down. And it was at that point when Hassan radiallahu anhu then took his group of people and he went towards Madinatul Munawwara. When he was on his way to Madinatul Munawwara, remember, in every era of Islam, there were those who wanted to break the Muslims. In every era. So they would come as hypocrites in between. They would come and they would try and infiltrate the Muslims. Hassan radiallahu anhu was en route from going towards Madinah to Munawwara, when he was sitting and he was addressing the people to say that I have stepped down from Khilafah, there is nothing wrong with that, I'm going to now go and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person who claimed to be his follower came front and said to him, you had no right to give over the Khilafah, you are causing fitna. He then took out a dagger and he stabbed Hassan radiallahu anhu on his thigh. This person was then caught, he was killed. But Hassan radiallahu anhu was then treated and he was well. He reached Madinatul Munawwara and he lived for a period in Madinatul Munawwara. Hassan radiallahu anhu thereafter was poisoned. Some say it was at the hands of those very same people who wanted to cause conflict amongst the Muslims. And he was poisoned and he passed away at the age of 45, some say 47 years old. Hassan radiallahu anhu has left a very, very, very great lesson for us. He was of the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was amongst those who Allah has praised in the Quran. He was amongst the Ahlul Bayt. Imam Shafi'i rahimullah said so beautifully regarding the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya al bayti rasulillahi hubbukumu fardum min Allahi fil Quran anzalahu yakfikum min azimil fakhri annakumu man lam yusalli alaykum fala salata lahu. Ya ala bayti rasulillahi hubbukumu. O family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your love fardum min Allahi fil Qur'ani anzalahu is compulsory because Allah has revealed it in the Quran. Yakfikum min azimil fakhri annakumu. It is sufficient for your honor to know, man lam yusalli alaykum fala salata lahu. Your salah cannot be complete until you do not read durood upon the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we're reading in our tashahud, what do we say? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Who's included in Ali Muhammad? All of this family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the honor of the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time you are now reading durood, keep it in your mind when you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. You are making dua for the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, if a person doesn't honor and revere the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his salah cannot be complete. So Hassan radiallahu anhu was at such a level of khilafah. Yet, at that point, he handed over the mantle of khilafah. Why? To avoid bloodshed amongst the Muslims. Hassan radiallahu anhu wanted to be buried in the same room with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He requested, but the Sahaba felt that it would not be appropriate. His brother Hussein radiallahu anhu also accepted this. Sahaba, especially Hassan radiallahu anhu, was a person who always opted for peace. In whatever situation he was in life, he opted for peace. Now I ask you a question. How easy is it to step down from a position? Whether you're the president of the country, whether you're the CEO, whether you're the director, whether you're the head of the family, who today will step down voluntarily just for the sake of peace? Who will do that? Hassan radiallahu anhu stepped down from what? Not a company, not a family. He stepped down from being the Khalifatul Muslimin. Why? Just to maintain peace. In life, everybody will be challenged. When you're the head of the family and you're making a decision, and you know that I have two options, one will be peaceful and everybody will be happy, and one I can show my authority. What do we do? Whether it's in business, whether it's in family, whether it's in organizations, no matter where it is, who in today's times will step down for the sake of peace? In Makkatul Mukarramah, I heard, you know, when they have a gathering of ulama, so one of the advices that was given was that a person should not hold on to a position in deen for too long. And then this alim who was giving this talk, he said, what we fail to do as Muslims today is succession planning. What is succession planning? If you know you're running a business and mashallah it's running well, you're not going to be there forever. Train someone to take your position so the day you're not there, the business doesn't have to shut down. In your family, obviously there's always one head of the family. Everybody go to them for advice. Every family's got that. But that person's not going to be there forever. Succession planning is choose one person, and every time you make a decision, tell them this is my decision and this is the rationale. This is why I am doing this. So they start understanding your thinking process. In organizations, the person on the top shouldn't be there forever. That person must groom somebody else. So that not just through the day my eyes close, this alim said so beautifully, he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put who forward? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came into the masjid, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was imam, Sahaba wanted to bring Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu back, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave him. He says, is that not the first step towards teaching us succession planning? So this is something we need to do in life. And then this alim said so beautifully, he said, don't ever wait for the time to be kicked out of a position forcefully or being forced out of it. Leave whilst Allah has given you izzah and honor and hand over in a good way so that you can improve that legacy that you've left. And he gave so many examples of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. One example which he gave was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is known as what? Saifullah, the sword of Allah. That is why nobody could ever take down Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. On his deathbed, he cried. Khalid radiallahu anhu cried. He says, I went into so many battles. I wasn't blessed with shahadat, with martyrdom. What did Sahaba tell him? Oh Khalid, don't forget. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named you Saifullah, the sword of Allah. If you were martyred, it would mean that the sword of Allah was defeated. On one occasion, the Muslim world came to a point where they felt, when Khalid is in a battle, radiallahu anhu, we have to win the battle. We can't lose with Khalid radiallahu anhu. And yes, he was an amazing warrior. Probably the best warrior this world has known. At that occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu realized that the trust of the Muslims is coming off from Allah and going into Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote a letter and he said, go and give this letter to Khalid bin Walid. So it was before the battle when Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is the Amir, he's the head, he gets the letter, and in this letter, Abu Umar radiallahu anhu writes, O Khalid, I have taken you off from the mantle of position now. You will be a normal fighter, and so another Sahabi will now be the commander of this army. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, what does he do? What does he do? He could have fought it. I'm the best warrior. My strategy wins you wars. Khalid bin Walid stands up from his position. He walks to that Sahabi. He takes off the turban that is given to the commander. He puts it onto his head. That Sahabi says, what are you doing, O Khalid? He says, this is a command of Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu an, Amir al-Mu'mineen. You are now the commander. He takes him by the hand, he brings him in front. Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu an, sits in front of him. And he says, I am a slave in your hand. Use me wherever you want. That is what Sahaba taught us. Hassan radiallahu an taught us, step down for the sake of peace. There'll be many occasions like that. Win the hearts of people over through peace. Win the hearts of your own children. Win the hearts of your own community. Win the hearts of this ummah. By what? Choosing peace. Even if you have to hand over your position, even if you have to hand over your authority, even if you have to do what is not correct in your eyes, not maybe not correct, but what is not up for your ego, but do it. How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam win people over? Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim on the conquest of Makkah. When he heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming in, what did he do? Forget one sword, he took out two swords. And he says, let him come, I'll show him. The people said to him, Abu Sufyan, the man is coming with an army. He's taken over everything. You stand no chance. So what did Abu Sufyan do? This message reached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now Abu Sufyan, one of his friends who was a Muslim, tells him, listen, go and talk to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Go in front of him, go and talk. So Abu Sufyan says, no. He comes from the side, and now he's watching from a distance. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes an open announcement to everybody in Makkah. Man dakhala dara fulan fahuwa amin. Man dakhala dara fulan fahuwa amin. Whoever enters so-and-so's house, peace. You can't attack that person in there. Whoever enters so-and-so's house, you can't attack them. Peace. Man dakhala dara abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. Whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, he's got peace. You can't touch him. So Abu Sufyan, one of the narrations says, he turned around to the person behind him and he said, which Abu Sufyan is he talking about? So they said, he's talking about you. He says, me? And I'm the one who said, I won't allow him to conquer, I'll kill him. And there, this Prophet of Allah is saying that if anybody enters my home, he'll get peace. So his friend tells him, go and talk to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, no, I know now, this is Islam, this is beauty. This is what I need to follow. But how do I go now after what I had said? So his friend said to him, go in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and use the words of Yusuf Alayhi Salam's brothers. لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ So he comes in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the right and he talks. Then he goes to the left and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looks down. And then he looks at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says, تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا Verily Allah has given you, has granted you a level above us. Allah has honored you above us. And we were the ones who were wrong. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turn around and say to him? La tathriba alayka al-yawm. No remorse against you today, no revenge. You come into the fold of Islam. At that occasion when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in command, conquest of Makkah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have said, bring that Abu Sufyan here with his two swords. Let me show him. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Man dakhala dara abi Sufyan fahuwa amin. And every one of us will have this opportunity in life. It may be in a small way, but remember your leader Hassan radiallahu an. Inna ibni hadha sayyid. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? This Hassan is a leader. If he's your leader, then follow him. If he's your leader, then sacrifice. Not every war has to be taken on.